Okay, welcome back on this Friday. And as we talk right now, and if you pay any attention to the controlled mainstream brainwashing media, all you're going to hear about is Israel and Hamas, Israel and Palestinians. You don't even hear about the huge war going on in Ukraine right now. That's kicked out of the news. It's just not there. The Ukrainians and their continuing Zelensky horrible genocide of all the Christian men that he can force into the military, or they can. What is it? How many did they lose this in 1 week? 400 or something like that? They're losing 100 people a day. These aren't injured, they're dead. So this is a massive holocaust of humanity being done, I think, intentionally. I've said this before. So that's out of the news. We're not even talking about that anymore. But what is really of concern to us and to all of you, I'm sure, who care about this whole genocide of the planet, are the number of people we've already lost and the number of people who have been severely damaged and injured and who are suffering 25 hours a day. They're in pain. They're in misery. They're doing everything they can to try to get better. And very, very few, if any, that I know about, have really reversed and gone back to what they were before they allowed that needle or needles to go into their body. All I can say is we're going to read more material tonight. I want you to think about that and think worldwide. Think globally on this. People are dying all around the world. And for every death, there are how many? Dozens? A dozen? Ten? Who knows? However many people were in that individual's orbit, family, extended family, they're by and large injured as well now, emotionally, spiritually. They've been really wounded with grief and loss. And this planet is now energetically, in so many ways, beginning to manifest that kind of grief and loss that I think it's going to have an impact in ways that most people would never even consider. This is worldwide genocide. And they're lying about the number of people killed. They're saying, well, they died of this, they died of that. They're never putting on the death certificate, died of Pfizer injection or Moderna injection or J&J. They don't do that. So you know the game. You there, partner?
I am. Good evening, Jeff.
It's nice that you're there. You don't hang me out to dry like most women do and you get something going like this and they don't answer their phone. Is it my breath? I don't know. All right, no more silliness. This is serious business. This issue of people dying and leaving grief behind is never mentioned by the controlled media. The number of people dying is really never mentioned. What we try to do on this program is bring you the full length and breadth of this calamity, this intentional bioweapon attack on humanity. And we do readers from the human side of the ledger to try to give you an idea of what it's like for some of these people. And there are a hell of a lot of them. Many of the people you see out walking and talking every day, if you do go out, are injured. They're vax injured. And they're slowly spiraling down and circling the drain. They're going to all the doctors they can. They're getting all the tests done they can. And what kind of hope do they really have? Not much more than hope itself, which is a fine thing. It's critical. But people are fighting these turbo cancers that have no mercy whatsoever and seem to be a different kind of cancer. Yes, we all have made it clear that the human immunological anti-cancer system has been disabled or destroyed so that the body doesn't have that. But I just have a feeling there's something else going on with this thing. It is so vicious. It's sickening. And we have some stories we're going to read. Then we're going to hear from Ryan Cole and some other special things later on as well. So these vax injured are trying to reach out to whoever they can. Their families really, in many cases, they've heard it. There's nothing else they want to hear, nothing else they can do. So they join some of these social media boards. And Eric has been plumbing one lately. It has to do with neurological injuries. And it's very interesting. These are people are smarter than the average social media participant. They've got some real stories. So why don't you go ahead and let's dive in. You read that one. Let's see what happens.
All right. So just for a little preamble, you know, the people that wind up in these groups, it becomes a, well, a lot of times it's their last resort. They've been through doctor and doctor to doctor with either being told that they're neurotic, they're prescribed painkillers or anti-anxiety medication. You know, their injuries are not validated, and they don't know where to turn. And then they do end up in these groups. Thank goodness, even though they are censored. So you know, you have to have a workaround vocabulary to make your point sometimes. But it's tragic, and you know, you see the full face of human misery in these groups. But at the same time, you also see the tenacity and the determination in the human spirit to
creativity as well. They're trying everything they can think of, doing their own research.
So you get a wide range of, you know, what the worst in terms of suffering, and then the triumph of the human spirit to try to overcome it. And you know, there's really just heartbreaking stories in here, but again, at the same time, stories of true inspiration and hope.
Right.
So this woman has been vax-injured for, I think, 2 years now, and she made a post the other day. I'm not going to mention any names because these people do really value their privacy. But it just gives you a taste of how life has changed for some of these people that were in the prime of their lives in some cases. She writes, "Can I share with you all something that no one else will understand? I used to be a professional opera singer, and 10 years ago, my life took a very different path towards real estate and then starting a family. I had been an artist in residence at an opera company and also worked as a costume manager. And in all aspects of production, it was my life. During that time, I sang shoulder to shoulder in supporting roles with world-class artists flown in to sing the lead roles. One was a particular favorite, a great person and heart-melting voice who became a real friend, someone who I aspire to sing with again someday, if I can ever live like a normal person again. I'm actually learning my dream role in the hopes that someday I can convince that person to learn the other title role in the opera someday. I'm 45, and I have set a goal of doing this by 50, so I can fulfill a life goal of singing this role, maybe at a company we're both connected to. Well, I just saw his tour dates, and they'll be singing two towns over on my next birthday. I'm gutted, because there is no way I will risk exposure in a hall full of people. I never know if I'll be well enough to attend. I have small children, and as much as I'd want to see that friend again and know they'd probably be very welcoming and happy to meet my family, I'd be embarrassed for them to know that I'm now a chronically ill hermit with big dreams for my broken self. It's too much. Thanks for listening to my sad little lament. Only you all would understand why a person would sadly turn down the things we once looked so forward to due to illness. Ugh, that was actually the plot of a few operas I can think of off the top of my head. How ironic. I love you all and hope you're having a good day."
It's ironic that many operas are tragic. That's what was kind of the rule of thumb in terms of plot lines in the 1800s. That's when the great operas were. 1900s, a few, but mostly in the 1800s. Yeah, they were always tragedies, almost always. Good guy finally gets the girl, and they both end up killing themselves. That kind of thing, you know, lighthearted comedy. But it's true, because that in those days, life was shorter. People didn't live as long as they did. Of course, that's beginning to diminish now, no surprise. All right, here's a response, several of them. Someone writes, "Do it anyway, girl. Our shells may have been issues, but our hearts are still there. Sounds like opera and singing are in your soul, so why not go for it? You can do it. Even at the very least, attend the show and visit with your friend. Then no regrets if you don't. And someone adds to that, get a ticket anyway. You can always not go if you don't feel up for it. I love opera. I think it's beautiful that you can sing opera. Another one, I would do it as well. Fear is what got us there. We don't know what's next, what will happen next year, but if you can secure a few moments of happiness here and there, then do it. Wear a mask, keep your sanitizer with you, but go. And another one, thanks for sharing. What an amazing journey we are on. We are healing, and you are as well. Keep your faith. And the last comment on this page, I would say if you have the energy pellets, the energy, go, even if you only made it to half of the event. When I was reading your post, I could feel your passion for music. I don't know how long you've been down. I've been down since 3:31 of 21. If there is something I really want to do, I'll do it. I know I'll pay for it a bit, but I am thankful that I still have some opportunities where my heart can be happy. My goddaughter got married on 9/2/23. I stressed over it for a year because I also can't plan my energy pellets, and I have migraines and headaches. I was able to go there for 4 hours. I even found out I was burglarized an hour before driving to her wedding, yet another reason to bail out. But I knew if I didn't go, it would be something I would regret. So I held it until I was driving home and bawled all the way home and more when I got home and got to see exactly what was stolen. There were about 150 people there, which worked fine for me. Thank goodness I didn't catch anything. I also went to one baseball game this year. I lasted 2 hours, but I was able to see family I hadn't seen since 2020. I know not everyone is able to do what I did, but so many things I missed these past 2+ years, and I was becoming resentful about it, frankly. Good luck in whatever you decide. And there's more. Go ahead.
Someone else chimes in. I'm in the go-for-it camp. I completely get the fear. I lived that way for so long, and then I made a choice to ignore it and live my life the best I can. What will be, and now I go to everything I can, or at least try, even if I need to cancel last minute. And my nervous system is thanking me for it. Mind affects the body so much. I've also found this far out, people think you are brave for what you've gone through. We don't need to hide as much. Also, large halls means lots of air swirling about, not as much of a chance of catching it. At least that's what I tell myself, ha ha. Whatever you decide, we have your back. Hugs, lady. This is hard. And someone else says, we can't live in fear. So much has already been taken from us. Chase your dreams. Another one says, I second this remark. And another one, you definitely got to go to the show. I'm a musician as well and have done some bucket list stuff since getting the shot, like seeing a couple concerts in the pit right in front of the band, and I do not regret taking the chances and the risks. Absolutely worth it. Another one says, I'd go for it. Risk of exposure to what? And original poster answers, anything. My immune system is knocked down, according to the blood work, and maintaining any kind of healthy baseline is a challenge, especially because I have 2 small kids to keep up with. And the other person says, well, mine is down as well, but I haven't gotten sick. My husband and stepson had COVID, so I took ivermectin and still slept in the same bed the whole time and never caught it. I'm also taking lots of supplements. I refuse to avoid going out. I've flown multiple times in the last few years and haven't gotten sick. COVID is nothing to worry about anymore. Less than a 0.4% death rate now.
Well, that's from the virus, of course. But we're talking about people who have been injured by the bioweapon, primarily. This lady had another post, which is interesting. It said about a visit to the dentist, and lots of comments about that, too. Let's do this one. Hi, it's the same lady. Hi, V family, vaxxed family. Just wanted to share about my experience at the dentist today. I hadn't been since before the pandemic because I was worried about exposure and was too sick for so long to even try to go. I was so nervous I didn't sleep much last night. To prepare for the dentist, I used X-Lear. What is this? Xylitol?
It's a nasal spray? Yes,
it's a brand name
spray.
Of xylitol. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I used xylitol nasal spray, modified at 3M Aura face mask. So she took a face mask and modified it, cutting out the mouth so I could breathe through my nose with some protection, and then wore a KN95 over that for talking, removing it for the dental exam, of course. I also took a puff of CBD flower before I left home, as I've read that CBD blocks the spike from attaching to the ACE2 receptors for 2 hours. I explained to them that I have signs of resorption and oral lichen planus. That's that oral, what is that? Some kind of a fungus? Lichen or lichen?
I think it is a microbe of some sort that affects the epithelial in the mouth,
right.
And you know it will look like white spots on
right.
the tongue
lichens.
Or the cheeks. Yeah.
All right. From my vax injury, and thank goodness they believed me and took me very seriously. As a matter of fact, the dentist did the exam and X-rays and decided to hold off on the teeth cleaning until she gets medical clearance from my GP. Then I will go back 4 times, and she will work on 1/4 of my mouth at a time. Go ahead and finish this one.
She said, I need a deep cleaning, cavities filled where my gums have receded and the root is exposed. And she really thinks I need my metal fillings out because of the mercury and it making autoimmune diseases worse. She was so patient and comforting. It was such a relief, even though I need work done. She said my choice to go on an alkaline diet to fight the lactic acidosis that was eating my teeth is exactly the right thing to be doing. Anyway, I just wanted to share this in case anyone else has been worried about their teeth and afraid to get help for it. Here is a picture of my nose mask in case you're curious. I replaced the elastic bands with better elastic and removed the metal staples, so I was able to wear it for X-rays. The nose clip was fine. Please excuse my wet hair. I washed it when I got home because it smelled like the dentist perfume and was triggering my MCAS when I took the mask off. I also gargled with Listerine when I got home, sprayed again with X-Lear, and I'm drinking some black tea because the EGCG in tea has recently been found to attach to the receptor binding domain of the spike, keeping it from attaching to the ACE2 receptors in the mouth and gut. And, of course, more CBD. Love you all, and hope you have a fabulous day.
Very good. All right, we have more. We're going to go to our video segment here before it gets too late. And it, by the way, going to the dentist, if you remember the canard about how the injectable pain deadeners, Xylocaine, Novocaine, were somehow impregnated with, what was it that they put in there, they claimed?
Oh, graphene, yeah.
Graphene
because
oxide.
Somebody looked under a microscope and saw some...
yeah, it's crazy. All right, well, we'll get back to these a little later. Ryan Cole was a guest on Greg Hunter's program and had some very interesting things to say. We're going to play that right now for you. And I think most of you know who Greg Hunter is by this time. So here's Dr. Ryan Cole with Greg Hunter.
A shot that will do zero good for anybody. Again, it's all risk with no benefit because the variant that this current shot covers is less than 1% of the variant now. It was, the highest percentage last summer. But this is what coronaviruses do. They always mutate and evolve ahead of our efforts, and they always will. And so this new one is worthless. And so, yeah, it's all risk, zero benefit. And this product has to be stopped. And people should be upset. And anybody that is doing this still, I can't even understand. And I understand why they are, because they're not getting this information, because they're getting dis and malinformation from their own government and from the agencies and from the pharma advertising and, Mr. Pfizer football and everyone else that's on the screen just screaming, get your shot, get your shot. But there's no science behind it. There's no science. There's no evidence. This is the problem, is we're doing experimentation on humanity, and we don't know the long-term outcomes. We're seeing them, and they're bad, and with the potential to get worse.
How fast are people dying of cancer? How fast are people, let's say a woman has, four is the worst, one's the least. Let's say you make a diagnosis with stage one or two cancer. What happens? How fast does it go to terminal?
Usually if you have a stage one or a stage two, you can clear that disease and you're cured. Once it's stage three and stage four, those are the tougher ones to treat, because that means it's spread a lot farther and to many places in the body. So if you catch it at an early stage, then cancer historically has been very treatable, depending on the types, of course. And cancer isn't just one cancer. You have so many organs in the body and so many systems and so many ways that those cells behave. So when I say cancer, there's a lot of types of cancer. I'll just put it that way. But what we're seeing, I had a radiologist in my state call me after I'd been speaking out about the cancer uptick. And he said, this was after the boosters. He had two 31-year-old women on the same day came in for their mammograms and for their x-ray studies and their CTs and scans and whatnot, both of them, stage four disease, 31-year-old women, and it was about a month after they'd gotten their boosters. And he said, whatever you do, please keep speaking out. What I'm seeing in my practice is unfathomable.
Did they die?
I don't know. I didn't get a follow-up from him on that. I hope not.
I'm sorry, I'm a layperson. A month after their booster shot three or four, they had stage four breast cancer, the highest breast cancer terminal, near terminal?
Yeah, near terminal, and they presented at near terminal. And that's what I'm hearing from my oncology colleagues around the world, is he's having younger patients, he or she or whoever I'm talking to, they're having younger patients present to them that are presenting at that end stage disease, stage three, stage four, that turbo cancer. They never had a diagnosis of it before, and they're showing up with it. Now, is this everybody? Do I want everybody in the world to be afraid they've got cancer? No, but if you have some odd symptom or sign, don't ignore it, especially if you've got more than two of these shots. My colleague in England, Dr. Anglish de Gleish, one of the leading oncology researchers in the United Kingdom, who's also been attacked for telling the truth, and when the boosters came out, he saw in his practice a huge uptick in cancers. And then he started calling his colleagues around the UK. They were seeing lymphoid cancers, blood cancers. And his specialty was melanoma. And his area, he was seeing a massive increase and a massive spread of melanomas, especially after the boosters. So, people that got one or two shots may have dodged a bullet. But once you've gotten into that number three category, then I think, the immune suppression risk is so high, your body can't fight off those cancers. And that's what I'm hearing all around the world. When I was when I was in the European Parliament a couple months ago giving testimony, I asked the room, if you have a friend or a colleague or a family member that had an unexpected cancer diagnosis after these shots, please raise your hand. And it was about 40% of the room, which was pretty shocking. So we're seeing it, and that's the problem. We're seeing it. I want to be wrong. The mechanism there.
You said this was absolute insanity over a year ago. You were right. You're up.
Okay, it's a little clip of Ryan Cole just telling it like it is, what his colleagues in the professional health community are reporting to him, what they're seeing. Very discouraged professionals. They know when they get a 3 or 4 stage in the office, there's not a lot to be done because most of these people have been injected. They have no defenses left, no natural innate defenses, and they're in real trouble. And most of them aren't making it. And you've heard stories on this program about how some people literally, literally die hours after diagnosis.
Yeah, that's, you know, the practitioners groups that I'm in are just blown away by how many people are coming to them with cancer right now. And this is for both shots. I, you know, they're making a big deal, as they should, about this SV40 sequence that's in the Pfizer vials that is not present in the Moderna. But nevertheless, you know, just as many cases are being of cancer being diagnosed in people who got the Moderna, despite not having that SV40 promoter in there. It's the whole platform that's a problem. It's completely unnatural. The body is defenseless against it, and it just creates all kinds of problems with the immune system. Completely unnatural. And this morning I saw a post in the colon cancer support group where one of the moderators apologized for putting out a weekly welcoming post, welcoming all the new members. And evidently it was disturbing to some members seeing the sheer number of new people coming into the group every week. So this person said that, well, okay, you know, I understand it's bothering some people, so we're not going to do that from now on. But that gives you an idea that, yeah, these numbers are growing frighteningly.
And no resolution. This is a, let's say, swelling tsunami, and it's global. It's especially in the Western world. We know that. Europe was targeted. The Americas, certainly North America was targeted, Canada and the U.S., New Zealand,
I mean,
Australia.
At some point, there's not going to be anybody that isn't touched by this, either, you know, directly or indirectly. I don't, you know, how much longer before the dam breaks?
We're hearing also too many cases of unvaxxed people presenting with vaxxed blood profiles. This is not encouraging.
No,
I still say they built the whole shedding transmission vector into this, certainly in a conceptual manner, but they pulled it off. They're going after that 10 to 20% who did not take the injection by virtue of shedding. And there is also more than a few reports, are there not, of people who have been shed upon who are taken out. They get very sick.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Same
vaccine
injury profile. Yeah.
I learned of one last week that he did not believe in the virus, did not believe in shedding, and consequently took no precautions. And he died suddenly and unexpectedly. Didn't have any outward health issues, so this was completely unexpected. I just got wind of somebody's dog that was diagnosed with a turbo cancer. The dog was at the vet's, I don't know, 2 weeks prior, got a clean bill of health. And then 2 weeks later was acting sick, something was wrong, took it back to the vet's, and they discovered pancreatic cancer.
And the owners shot up.
Oh, yeah. The whole family. There's 4 of them. They're all shot up. Yep.
Right. All right. We are dealing with the deaths of tens of millions of people. Each death is a tragedy. Each death is a murder. Each death is a loss. And I came across something last night that I wanted to share with you. Let me do a little background here. The idea of collective grief on this rather forsaken planet now is really reaching new levels all the time. It's surrounding and enveloping billions of people. Think about it. right? From the deaths of about a million souls in the gangster war against Russia and Ukraine, about a million dead there now, to the countless tens of millions of murdered souls around the world at the hands of Zionist Big Pharma and its planned, created, and deployed military bioweapon, humanity is suffering collective unparalleled pain and grief. It is essentially off the charts. I mentioned this earlier, the grief factor on this planet. You can find grief by knocking on almost any door now. It's everywhere. Most of the victims of this population reduction genocide are not going quietly into that so-called good night. In fact, they are suffering horrifically and dying of dozens of different manifestations of the brutal destruction of their blood, their immunology, their neurology, their major organ systems, and now by the explosion of turbo cancers. Think about it. In most every case, the ripples of grief and loss that spread from each passing has left wounds that will never heal in the hearts and souls of those surviving the departed. We must not forget about the grieving loved ones of all of those who have been taken. Think about a planet struggling with the endless anguish of lost children, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers. We are in the beginning of a global holocaust of suffering and loss, the likes of which we've never seen before. And again, most of those having their lives ended, young and old, do not go quickly, but are forced by the injected death weapon, right, into an inexorable, painful slide into history. This is a real, contrived, manufactured, planetary human holocaust, which is now not even mentioned in the evil, inhuman, so-called mainstream media, which in reality is, sooner or later, Satan's own communication platform. Realize it or not, the entire mainstream media is one of the most dominant players in this genocide of planet Earth. It is maybe the key player. Of course, as I've said, we've said many times, every loss has its own different pathway, but the ending is always the same. One of the greatest callings I've always felt and challenges of humanity is to somehow make the world a little better while one is here. There are endless ways of doing so, of course, and one of the most beautiful is done with the human voice. Patricia Yanukova was a renowned, internationally acclaimed soprano who had a worldwide following on social media, a big one. I had never heard her sing, nor did I really know who she was until I came across a video last night about her passing, and I looked at it. Patricia Yanukova was diagnosed with breast cancer in February of 2022. Her cancer was terrible and was not responsive, no surprise, to chemo or any routine treatment, as bioweapon turbo cancers usually aren't. She fought the cancer, everything I read, valiantly, bravely, and managed to actually resume singing earlier this year in 2023 for a short period before the disease forced her to stop for the last time. She also held on long enough to achieve every young woman's dream. She was able to marry her devoted partner in a beautiful wedding on July 23rd of this year. Patricia Yanukova died on October 1st at the age of 25, with her entire adult life still ahead of her. Hers, of course, is just one case, one story, one human being in the genocide of planet Earth. She did make the world a better place, as have so many others who have been taken from us. Here is a small example of the beauty that she created and leaves to everyone. right. Just a little hint. The video for this is under our names and guests. And if you'd like to go look at the whole thing, it was put together by a fan of hers and released on the day of her funeral. She died October 1st. Go look at that video. It's beautiful, and it can be construed as a tribute to all that we've lost, everyone, who will remain nameless and never heard about. So I thought that might be important to present to you.
Yeah, it's getting close to home. You know, when you can put faces or names to faces, faces to names, see that these are real people. Cut down in the, you know, the prime of their lives in some cases.
Right.
Needlessly.
I honestly think we're to the point now where you can knock on just about any door, and not that they're going to open it always, but you can find grief and loss there. We've lost a lot of people in this country because of these shots, the bioweapon shots, and no one's talking about them. You're not seeing
no.
it. They're just being swept away. Gone.
You know, I'm seeing a number being bandied about right now, which I am not putting any stock in. They said there's, what, 1.8% of Americans have now taken this recent shot. You wouldn't say that if you lived here.
1.8%?
No.
No. Well, as
there's
you
still
regulars,
countless.
Yeah. You regulars know
countless
we've inspected.
People lining up for this.
We've looked into this, and we've called multiple pharmacies, and they're knocking out 150 a day, some of them.
Mm-hmm. That looks like more than 1.8% to me.
I would say that they're underestimating it. Maybe they're using reverse psychology. I don't know.
Maybe.
But you can't even get an appointment in some of these pharmacies. What was it? I think
well, they won't
I,
we do walk-ins. They want you to go online and register and give up, right. you know, personal information, and then they'll let you come in for your shot.
And we looked into this in very late September, and one of the places, I don't know if it was CVS. No, it was Walgreens. Weren't they backed up? Didn't I hear that?
Yeah.
What did we hear them say? They were backed up a month.
No, they were running out at that time, and their next batch wouldn't be available until mid-October. Although that has
right.
since changed. They must have gotten another delivery.
Uh-huh. I'm sure they did. All right. So we've heard from Ryan Cole, and we heard about a beautiful young lady, and God knows how many tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions now, are dead. And don't forget about the simple fact that all those who are still with us in so many cases are suffering terribly every day around the clock. The talk of suicide on the boards that Erica monitors is becoming rather common now.
It's been that way from the beginning, because once these people realize there's not a lot of options for obtaining help, they do become suicidal, especially if they're dealing with just these, I don't know, these ruthless, debilitating injuries, pain syndromes, ringing in the ears, constant headaches, fatigue, burning sensations. There was one report of a woman that had to be put on ice practically to calm her nerves down because they were on fire.
No fun. These are neurological issues. We've talked about this as well, when the spike gets into the neurology of your body, into your nerves, it'll move all the way up into your brain and begin creating prions in your brain. And it doesn't actually crawl up your neurology. It's got a different way of transmitting itself up your nerves, headed toward the brain or wherever it's going. You mentioned
it was like
dominoes, right? You said dominoes.
Well, that's if it initiates this protein misfolding cascade.
Mm-hmm.
But the spike itself can travel in, well, the cerebral spinal fluid if it gets in there, and then work its way into the brain through the meninges. And there was a paper that showed that. So it doesn't have to cross the blood-brain barrier. It can diffuse across the meninges.
If it gets into your spinal fluid, CSF, it goes right. It can go right up into your brain. The spinal fluid moves. If you remember the early use of those long Q-tips going up people's noses to get a swab, and they'd bash up against that thin, bony plate. Was it cribriform? Cribriform plate?
Yeah.
Plate.
Cribriform and it would plate, actually, yeah.
Yes, it would actually break into the cranial cavity, and CSF would come out in people's noses. Cerebral spinal fluid would actually leak out of the brain in the beginning.
On the Children's Health Defense TV website, they've got a lot of these vignettes of people who have been harmed by not just the injections, but also the swab. And there was a woman there describing how she was injured. I haven't looked at it yet, but it caught my attention. And I remember hearing several cases where that happened. You know, you had an unskilled healthcare worker, supposedly, shoving this 6-inch long swab up somebody's nose and not doing it properly, and you could do damage. And they did do damage.
Yes, they did. And I'm wondering to this day if some of that damage wasn't planned for and they didn't want it to happen. This is awful.
Completely unnecessary. There were other ways if you wanted to test somebody non-invasively.
Multiple ways.
Had to do it that way. And it does make you wonder what was their ulterior motive.
Mm-hmm. I don't trust anything anymore. I question as much as I can. And I hope all of you are doing that as well. All right, we have some more readers here from human beings. We can do the 1 year post-vax set.
Yeah.
Or we have... All right.
Well, they're all interesting. These are like 1 year... 1 year post-vax or post-injury anniversary, and then we've got a couple of 2 year post-vax anniversaries to show you, the progress, if there is any progress, in dealing with these neurological consequences.
All right, here's the first 1 year anniversary. This is a thank you post. I was completely lost last fall, turning from one doctor to another and finding no answers. I found this group after almost 2 months of hell, 2 months of a myriad of neurological stuff, PEM, URE, weakness, SOB, dehydration, and more, with only an ED doc who actually helped me get over that hump with steroids. The bad neuro stuff subsided in November, but I then went through 4 to 5 months of a cascade of about 20 symptoms, multiple scans and tests of various types, and a few $1,000s later, and still no definitive answers from the professionals. But I found answers here. I did a vitamin and ozone IV treatment very early this year, and then went hardcore low histamine for a while. A former half marathoner, I learned to slow down, embrace yoga, and rest. Something I had never been good at before. By the way, there are lots of free yoga videos on YouTube that are great. I found a good supplement routine, and I also started counseling once a month. By April, things began turning around, and despite a few minor flares from time to time, I'm significantly better. Tonight, I'm scrolling through the upcoming local 5Ks to try later this fall. That's a run. I'm not running a lot, but I am doing 2 to 3 miles of intervals a couple times a week consistently, and I'll take it. There's no magic solution for all of us, but I thought I would share. If anyone has any questions, you can personal message me. Keeping it clean for the whatever. I hope everyone finds ways to help heal, even if it's just a little bit at a time.
Well, that is definitely one of the more positive posts.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing anything that encouraging in a long time, frankly.
All right, here's somebody at 2 years. I'm going to do this 2 years, number three. It's a little shorter.
Got it.
Dear all, I didn't want to write this, but I feel like I have to. I'm approaching my second anniversary when all this nightmare happened. Firstly, I set myself to 3 months, then 6 months, then a year, then 2 years. But I see no changes. No matter what I tried, I experience exactly the same symptoms as on day one. I'm sad to admit, but it feels like it's my life now. Head pressure that no medications can remove, tinnitus, and consequently anxiety, fear, panic attacks, depression. 2 years since I made the worst decision in my life that changed all my life, took all dreams and plans from me. I never thought that could happen, even in the worst nightmare, but it is happening, and it is so hard to accept. I never found an answer to what happened to me, why I am experiencing all these symptoms, and what the treatment could be. I am left completely on my own in my tragedy, traumatized. 2 years is such a long period. No support from government or medical community. I honestly feel like I was poisoned or somebody wanted to kill me. I had hope all that time, but I'm starting to lose it. I don't know what to do next. I hope you all are doing better. I'm sorry for the negativity, but I felt from the very first day that something irreversible had happened, and that is my biggest fear.
See, he got no answers. He tried. He obviously jumped through all the hoops and did everything he was supposed to. He got no answers. There's
a lot of
in the
people in that
is,
situation.
You betcha. Here's what he said in the middle again. 2 years since I made the worst decision of my life that changed all of my life, took all my dreams and plans away from me. I never thought that could happen, even in the worst nightmare. But it is happening, and it is so hard to accept it. I'm sure this is rather common. These people are just marooned, high and dry. They get no answers. They have no help. There's no resolution. And they reach out to these groups. And that's the only good thing I can say about social media is that groups like this are able to at least give people a little bit of emotional consolation that they've got someone to talk to.
Yeah, it's invaluable for that, because if they didn't have this, it would be very difficult, if not impossible.
Guess. Yeah. Where would they go?
This becomes a family for some people.
Well, their family gets tired of it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
If these weren't around, they'd go visit Drs. Smith and Wesson.
Mm-hmm.
They just get out. And I think a lot more people are doing that than we're hearing about, frankly. You don't hear about the ones who just don't post anymore. They're just not there.
What happened to them? A few of those, too. Yeah, I have one here. It's a little bit long. We won't get to it tonight. But, yeah, there are those where they just drop off, and you wonder what happened. We've got one more shorty here we could probably fit in. So, today marks my second year anniversary. I almost didn't even remember. Unfortunately, this stuff has gone on so long that it becomes part of us in our lives, and we forget what normal is. I wish I could say I was back to my normal self, but unfortunately that is not the case. I will say that some things have improved. However, I have new things starting as well. All I can say is I sure hope that by next year, when we hit our 3-year anniversary, that somehow we will be better.
Well, we feel that way. We hope people will get better. We're doing the best we can to try to help in any way we can. It's very difficult when you're dealing with a medical establishment that doesn't know, and unfortunately, in too many cases, just doesn't care. They're overwhelmed. I get it. But these people are not getting the help they need. It's a very horrible situation.
That makes them easy prey for some of these predators that are just mining these groups and offering
bullshit.
What appears to be a cure, but
No. Crap. Nicotine, patches, come on. And no. If you haven't seen what we turned up on nicotine, please look at our last program, listen to it, and the data, it's all there. It's up in our archive as well. You can find all the papers that Erica found. They're all up there. So no on the nicotine, a big no.
Well, it's a very gross oversimplification of a very, very complex problem.
That's how hucksters work.
Yeah.
Keep it simple. All right,
well,
that's our...
You know, you dangle an easy fix in front of people, and they'll reach for it.
Sure they
will.
What
have they got to lose at this point?
Right. Oh, my. Wait a minute. Oh, my.
Mm-hmm. So,
someone sent me an email, and it says, I don't even want to say this, the antidote for COVID-19 by Dr. Brian Artis. Wow.
Yep.
Okay, everyone, thank you for being there. We care. We'll be back Monday. We think Nurse Anne may be with us at that time. She's got many horror stories from inside the hospitals and the ERs to share, and it's getting to be worse out there, if that's possible. And it's something we've unfortunately forecast. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse before it gets better, whenever that is. Okay, great job. Thanks, pal. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
And we will be right back with another hour for you.